are live on YouTube.
Try out the ideas at home,
and they see how it changes their family life, and they see how their children engage with it, then they naturally want to share this with other people. And they do. They go and share it with their family, they share it with their friends. Some of them even go so far as to discourage their friends from going to other programs and to mine instead. Some of them go online and write reviews, which are totally unsolicited from me. But the thing that shines through all of this is their authentic, personal experience of what they're sharing. And it's different for everyone, but that joy and that authentic experience really shines through when they're talking about it. And that's what sells it to the other people they're talking to. I kind of think of it as love attracts love. You know, when we experience love, when we experience the love of the Lord, we naturally want to share it. You know, I think it's the very nature of love that it longs to, you know, go out and be shared. You know, it wants to be expressed and put to use. And in the last year or so, I found myself shamelessly sharing my experiences with others. Now, it might seem counterintuitive to kind of pull back and look at our own internal church as a means of growing the external organisation, but we each need to have that passionate love of the Lord that just can't be contained and longs to be sent out again. And like I said, in the last year or so, I found myself shamelessly sharing my experiences with strangers and family. Easter time is a really good example of that. I took my kids down to the local Anglican church for Easter, and the sermon was on cosmology and how modern-day science, thinking with cosmology, really says what the Bible's been saying all along about the nature of love. And I'm like, I just couldn't help myself. You know, when you walk down, you shake the minister's hand as you go out, I leaned in and I said, oh my goodness, I connected so much to what you were saying, because what you were talking about really is what Swedenborg's been saying all along about love being the organic substance of life. And she went, you just answered a prayer of mine. I've been really wanting to explore this area further, and I didn't know where to start. So we chatted for a bit, and after I repeated the name Swedenborg at least 5 times, she went and got a piece of paper and said, I want you to write it down. So I did, and I don't know if anything happened, it went anywhere, but I know that she connected with me because I was really authentic and I was sharing my lived joy and experience, and I know that that's what she connected with. And I hadn't planned to say anything. I kind of just walked up and I have to say something. I moved to say something. And it was just the Lord spoke for me. So a wise person recently pointed out to me that when we concentrate on the internals and the externals, will naturally take care of themselves. So I'm not saying that we should, you know, do things drastically differently within the organisation, but we each need to find a way to come to the Word every day and let it connect with us and let it move us and let it direct us and let Him guide us. And then the way that we approach the externals will change. It has to. Yes, so Logo Praxis really for me was what gave me that focus to make that change. You know, the idea that, you know, we can take truths and we can understand them, but really to know a truth you need to apply it and see it work in your life. And that was a really important concept for me. But for me, the real connection for me was having that spiritual connection with a community. You know, we come to the group every 2 weeks and we share our experience of the Lord working in our life, and we witness each other's accounts, and we are offered new understandings and new perspectives, and they sustain and they feed us. And it's these goods and truths that we're sharing that are the Lord. Now, He is what connects us as a community and as a church. Now they say where the word is read and loved, then they have a church. And we know that in the grand man, that's represented by the heart and the lungs. And when you think about it, the heart and lungs aren't a large part of the human body, like, you know, the skin system or the blood vessels. And I think that's probably going to always be reflected in the proportion of what the population of the church is like compared to the rest of the population. But the heart and lungs are a vital part of the body. You know, we need to make sure that they're healthy. They are what sustain and give sustenance to the rest of the body. So, like I said before, I saw this as a really good reminder of where our first focus needs to lie, and it needs to lie with our own internal church. You know, you need to find a way of coming to the Word daily, letting it connect and move you, letting it direct, letting Him guide you. And then we need to share it with each other. And if we can do these two things, then we will have a healthy church. And then the externals will form as they need to, and the Lord will make sure that they happen when they need to as well. So, after I wrote all this, I spent another couple of weeks just coming across quotes that just fit in so well with what I've been given. So I thought I'd share two that really jumped off the page for me. They're both from Ivana Celestia. So the 4292, the expression church is used in everyday language to describe our congregation in general. But each member of the congregation must be a church if that greater church is to exist. And also 10290. The Lord speaks to a member of the church in no other way than through the word.